Lord, thank you for your presence here with us. Lord, just thank you for filling me. And Lord, just overshadow and overpower my weakness. And Lord, bring forth your word. Lord, it always liberates us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I forgot what day in communion I spoke about. I'm just going to give the expanded version. So if you were at communion this week, you've heard some of this, but I've just been kind of captivated by it. And just ask the Lord to just give me some more understanding. Just really help us in this process. In Romans chapter 8, just some very familiar verses. Such a great passage there, isn't it? Chapter 8 is just full of just everything in it's good, you know? It's just really good. Verse 26. Thank you, Lord. And in the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And to me, I don't know, when I read this, I thought, you know, that's really encouraging to me. You know, that the Lord is just telling me, you know, Craig, you don't know how to pray as you should. You know, I don't know about you, you know, but I've heard people pray and I think, man, I'd really like to pray like them or sound like them. But the Lord kind of gives us His word to all of us. None of us know how to pray as we should. And so we have the Holy Spirit, right? And we can pray in and with the Holy Spirit. You know, like as we're praying, John on the day, you know, it says on the Lord's day, He was in the Spirit. And so we've been taught here that we can always walk in the Spirit, right? That's what Scripture says. We walk in the Spirit. If I'm always walking in the Spirit, you know, I can pray in union with the Spirit, and also with our prayer language, we're praying in the Spirit. You know, and I think particularly at those times is when there's the groaning and there's the intercession going on with this Holy Spirit interceding for us. I think that's just an incredible thing. Because it says in the next one, for he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Anytime you see the word mind, it can be, it's usually about intentions, what the intention is, the frame of thought, the will. Because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. A couple of things in here I think is really cool. See if I can explain this. That the Holy Spirit is always interceding for us. That word means continually. Okay, like He interceded for me from 7 to 7:30 today. He's constantly interceding for us. And He's constantly searching our heart. In other words, He prays what's in our heart. Okay? And a lot of times we don't know, like David had a perfect heart before God, right? He didn't always do the will of God, but he really wanted to do the will of God. That was in his heart. And so the Lord searches our hearts, and the Holy Spirit prays according to the intention of our heart. Right? So if your intention is, Lord, I really want to know you. I really want all that you have for me. That's in your heart. Okay? And so that's what he sees. And so the Holy Spirit is constantly interceding for you according to what's in your heart. Okay? Isn't that awesome? Because I don't always, you know, we all get caught in the Romans 7 deal, don't we? We find ourselves not doing what we'd really like to do, and it's just that battle. But it's good to know. I don't know, maybe not for you, but it is for me. It's good to know that the Holy Spirit, even now as I speak, is interceding for me according to what's in my heart and what all the things that God's put in there. You know, things that says that we wouldn't even believe all those things in us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? The eye has not seen or ear heard all the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. That's the things that's in your heart. And so it's important as I'm praying, and I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm praying with the Spirit, because He just starts dropping these things in me, you know, overshadowing my weakness and praying according to His will. He always prays according to the will of God. And I'm in union. I can be in union with that, you know. And I know, again, there's two different types. I know we can pray, you know, verbally. We can pray out loud in the Spirit, and we pray with the Spirit. We pray in our prayer language. For me, it helps me out starting off like that. I don't know about you, but everything is kind of, you know, in our physical bodies, it can be just kind of foggy, and I can't think straight or minister. And then when you, all of a sudden you pray in the Spirit, and it just begins to clear up, doesn't it? Because you're just kind of praying the will of God. Intercede. I just think that's good news. If we don't get anything else of what I said tonight, be encouraged to know that the Holy Spirit is now, make it personal, interceding for you, for Rich, right now, what's in his heart. He looks at the heart. And he's offering that all the time. It's always going on before the Father, praying for you according to the will of God, understanding that we're weak. Okay? Yes. You may. It's actually the God He, like God is searching our hearts, or He, you know, same thing. They're all right. He knows our heart. God knows our hearts, and then the Holy Spirit's praying according to that. So, yes, one of them. So, all right. Then, see, this verse is connected with this one. This is a familiar verse to us. This is tied in, and therefore we can know. Okay? That God is always causing all things to work together for good to those who love Him. All right? And we do use that verse sometimes with everybody in the world, but it really does say to those who love Him. Right? Who are loving God. Who love to do His will. Okay? And these verses are tied together. You follow me? That because of my weakness, the Holy Spirit is, I don't know how to pray as I should. He's groaning. These are deep. That means deep things in me, you know, before God, and according to the will of God. So I can be assured, therefore, all things in my life are working for my good. Because they're headed toward that purpose, which we'll see in a minute, that God's predetermined purpose is all working together now for my life. Okay? To those who love God, if you love God, that's happening to you. Okay? Everything. And to those who are called according to His purpose. You know? And that word called is the word we said the other day, it's the word like summoned. You know, I summon you, or an invitation. I'm calling you. I've chosen, and I'm calling Bracken. You know, and when Bracken responds and some to that summon and calling, he's called. Okay, in which Ephesians 1:11 says God works all things after the counsel of His will. Okay, so part of that counsel of God's will is calling you and summoning you. That's really a cool thing. Okay, so these are the ones who love God. That are called by Him, summoned, chosen. You know, I pick you. I pick George for my team. That's how God did it. I pick George. I summon him. I call. And because he loves me, and I'm going to work everything according to my purpose for George. And some of these things are just hard to understand. For whom He foreknew. Okay? Those who He foreknew before you were born. And even Scripture says before the foundations of the earth. He foreknew you. Okay, this and we got to make this. This is written as something very personal, not like all of us know. Like He foreknew John, you know, before he was the foundation of the earth. He foreknew him, and he had this predetermined plan. It says to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of the brethren. When I was thinking about that day, okay, God foreknew me. Way before I was born, He had called me. Just like Paul says in Galatians, He who had set me apart from my mother's womb. and called me by His grace. Okay? That God so foreknew you, and He had this predetermined plan for you to conform you into the image of Christ. You know, we can use those big words, but that means He had set something in motion, and when God makes a plan, He fulfills the plan, right? A determined plan is what that means. God had a determined plan that He was going to conform Rich Reynolds, who He knew before the foundation of the earth, into the image of His Son. So therefore, God, that predetermined plan, He was determined He's going to do it. You got it? When God sets a plan in motion, He fulfills that plan. That's the reason it says in Philippians that God is at work in you. Right? He is at work in you, both to will and to work because it's His good pleasure. He's doing it. So I can be encouraged that all of us in here, God foreknew, and His predetermined plan and destiny for our life is to conform us into the image, and therefore He had put it into motion, and He therefore is doing it. It's going to happen. We just respond. Amen? I don't know, but something about reading that today just thought, well, that is really cool. You have this plan that you set into motion, and when you set a plan into motion, you fulfill that plan. It was a determined plan. He was determined to capture Bracken's heart. He was determined for him to respond to his calling. And He's the one that conforms you. Okay? You don't have diddly to do with conforming yourself into the image of Christ. And we'll see in a minute. He does it. Amen? We can't on our own be Christ-like than I could be this stand. You know, like me trying to, I'm going to conform myself to the image of this stand, you know, it ain't going to happen, right? And those whom, verse 30, those whom He predestined, okay, again, He called, He chose us, okay? He picked us, He picked Edith. I choose Edith, you know, He really did that. I choose George. I choose Rosemary in Gay North, right? Did I say that right? I choose you. I've called you. I've summoned you particularly. Okay? And here's what He did. And this is what helps us. When He called, He justified. We talked about that a little bit. We always hear that. Listen, this is a cool thing I wrote down about this. To justify is to hold as guiltless, to accept as righteous, and to stand as approved. So justified means to hold as guiltless. Bracken, you're guiltless. To accept as righteous. You're accepted as righteous. And you stand approved. That's what justified means. Isn't that cool? Hold as guiltless, to accept you as righteous, and to stand approved before God. And He called you, and He predetermined the plan, and then He justified you. And it says, those whom He justified, these He glorified. There's so many words to glory that you can go back and look to, you know, esteem. But I really believe what it means here is is to impart glory. Right? Like Moses prayed in Exodus chapter 33, Lord, show me Your glory. Okay? And the Lord said, okay, I will. And then all of who God is, all His goodness passed before Him. Okay? And then when Moses used to go and God would speak to him face to face, remember Moses would come out and the glory would be outside and his face would be glowing. The presence and the glory of God. But now as New Testament people, now that same glory is now within me. And that's what it means to be glorified. God has imparted His glory or His presence in me. So I stand before Him now guiltless, accepted as righteous, and I stand approved, and now I'm glorified. I'm filled with the glory of God within. Okay? That helps in me being conformed, doesn't it? To His image. And that standing before God like that, guys, you got to understand, you know, during our day, and, you know, because we all blow it so much. If we get that in our hearts, you know, I mean, it's so liberating, right? It keeps us, it just helps with the battle the enemy's coming against us. You know, when he says here in a minute, well, who could possibly condemn you now, you know? Who can bring a charge against you? You can't. That is... Yeah? Amen. And that was liberating, right? Amen. Yeah. As we see here, he didn't need your help at all. Right? Amen. So... those whom he justified, he not only did that, but he glorified them, poured his presence into them, presence of God. And I love this. What then shall we say to these things? What can you say? If God is for us, it says, who can be against us? God is, man, if God isn't for you for doing all that, then gosh, that's what he's saying. What in the heck? What shall we say to all these things? God is for me. Okay? Another thing getting our heart. Always remember, God is for me. In every situation, God is for me. He's not against you. Haven't any of you ever felt like God is against you? Come on. You never felt that way? Y'all never felt that way that God is against you? I have. Why, Lord, is happening? I feel like you're against me or something. Or thought it maybe. Y'all are making me feel better, right? I'm doing like these guys at our Bible study always looking at me. They do that to me, John. That's the reason you got to come help me out. They are. Yeah. God is for us. Gosh, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Okay? And that word really goes along with the word we've been hearing a lot. And we hear Bishop quote it over and over again. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every deed. When this thing is saying, here's the correct translation, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? That word means to grace you. That God has now freely graced you. He has given all grace to you. To be gracing, or he shall be gracing. He's continually gracing us. So how will he not with him now? He's graced us. He's given us everything for every situation that you'll ever need. Gracing. And that word gracing is a continual act. He's continually gracing us. Amen. Again, God is for you, right? Therefore, it says... who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who can bring a charge against you? Who can bring, and that word means accusation. Who can bring an accusation against you now? God is the one who's justified you. Remember, to hold as guiltless, to accept as righteous, to stand approved. So therefore, never listen to a charge brought against you. It's not from Him. So who would listen? No more listening to it, right? Now, who is the one who condemns? Remember at chapter 8, when it started out, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Because Christ Jesus is He who died for you? Yes, rather, who was raised for you? And who now is at the right hand of God, also interceding for you? So now, you've got Jesus at the right hand of God, always interceding for you. And you're in Him, right? Always interceding for us. So what do you think He intercedes for us too? He's always interceding according to the will of God. Right? Like that. Looking at our heart. Interceding for us. That's just really cool. Wouldn't you like to know what all He's interceding for you right now? You know, what He's saying? Probably come out something like, bless Him, Lord. Bless Him. Grace Him, Father. Just pour grace on them. They're in me. And when you see them in me. So grace them. Bless them. And the enemy's telling us we've done this and done that. He's saying, grace them, Lord. Bless them. Bless Rich. Grace him, Lord. He loves you. Pour it out. Lavish it on him, Lord. Probably sounds something like that, don't you think? I do. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword, peril of sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we are now overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from this love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what a great way to wind up that chapter. After all the things He's just said about the Holy Spirit interceding for all the things that are in my heart. You know? Helping my weakness, praying according to the will of God, His predetermined plan that He's put in motion for you, how He foreknew you, and yet He chose you anyway. And as He chose you, He called and picked you. And after He did that, He justified you, where you could stand before Him guiltless and righteous and accepted. And then He glorifies you, and then He pours His presence in you, and then He just graces you all the time. And He doesn't condemn you, and there's no accusations that you should listen to. So therefore, nothing can separate me from His love, His purpose in my life. Nothing. Got it? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What more can be said?